Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Heartland, Michigan, earned a bachelor's degree in business from the University of South Alabama while playing softball. Since July of 2025, she's been a part-time field ambassador for the Greater Huron Area for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. FCA is an interdenominational Christian sports ministry to see the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. Her name? Rachel Everett. And we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to a young local missionary by the name of Rachel Everett. Rachel, welcome and honored to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Jack. I'm so grateful to be here.
Can you lead us in an opening prayer, please?
Yes, I'd love to. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Lord, thank you for the opportunities that you give us to honor and glorify your name. Lord, the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. Lord, may our conversation today just be surrounded by you, Lord, your presence, your Holy Spirit, Lord, and may we just be able to glorify you in everything that we say and talk about today. Lord, we love you so much, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go back. Heartland, Michigan. Your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Yes. So born and raised in Heartland, Michigan. Go Eagles for all the Heartland people out there. Yes, was raised in a family with my mom and dad who are incredible, and my three sisters, two older sisters, one younger sister. Yeah.
You were a great athlete. You graduated high school in 2021. You were the athlete of the year for the Eagles. And you played softball and you were a pitcher. How good were you?
Oh, man, you know, I can't be bragging about myself on here, seriously. No, but so blessed by the ability the Lord gave me to play the sport of softball at a highly competitive level for a really long time. Playing high school softball was just amazing. I had so many great teammates. My freshman year, we actually made it to the state championship. Unfortunately, we lost, but, you know, just being able to be with all the girls always was just such a blessing, and so many great memories from that time.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Oh, wow, that's such a good question. My parents have always been really, really encouraging. My mom is a special ed teacher, and so I think the biggest thing that I've learned from her is she's just always so encouraging. She always encourages me and my sisters to follow our passions and just do what we're passionate about, and that's been such a blessing my whole life because they just really have encouraged me and backed me on really any decision that I've made in my life. And on my dad's end of things, my dad is a big sports guy, and we've just had the opportunity to bond, especially over softball, while growing up. And just my dad, I think the biggest thing I've learned from him is just to compete at a high level, honestly, and do your best at everything that you do and continue to work hard, and it'll pay off.
How many times have you struck dad out?
My dad has never hit off me, but he did catch for me up until I was about 13 years old. And then he was like, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore.
So, all right. You graduate from Heartland High School and you accept a scholarship to play at South Alabama. You had to learn a new language.
Yes, definitely a new language.
Mobile, Alabama. Tell us about Mobile, Alabama.
Yes. So actually, it's kind of a crazy story because whenever I started being recruited to play softball, I told everyone at home I was not going more than 3 or 4 hours away from home, not going to go to a school other than Michigan or Ohio. I was actually planning on going to a school in Ohio when the South Alabama coach reached out to me. And I told my mom, I'm not really sure if I want to go on the visit or not. And she said, you know what? Free trip to Alabama. We should go down there and see what it's all about. And so we went down to Alabama. And talk about culture shock, first off. Just it's like they speak a whole nother language down there. But the people down there are so amazing. My experience at South Alabama was so incredible. It was just so good. If you guys haven't been to Mobile, you have to go check it out. What a great city.
All right. You're a superstar at Heartland. You go to South Alabama your first year, you don't get into a game. How did you handle that adjustment?
Yeah, that's a great question. It was really, really hard, especially at the time I didn't really have much of a faith. I had a coach in high school that was a follower of Jesus, and she really, really just showed him in everything that she did, constantly was talking about her faith and walking it out. I think that was the biggest thing. She was always walking it out. There was just something different about her, a different presence about her. And I desired to have that too. I had never really had a personal relationship with the Lord, but after seeing her walk it out, it just encouraged me to want to maybe have a relationship with the Lord one day. And so I went down to South Alabama, and like you said, the thing I had kind of built my life on, which was softball, it had kind of done me well up until college, but then it just really crumbled before me. I mean, I had been an all-star, and then all of a sudden I was just the last bench player. And it was really, really hard. In the Bible, it talks about like building your life on the rock instead of on the sand. And it was like I had built my house on the sand and it crumbled before me, like it will. But I needed to find how to build my life on the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And so even though it wasn't a great experience softball-wise that year, I began a personal relationship with Jesus that year, and I couldn't ask for anything more than that.
We're talking to Rachel Everett. She graduated a year ago from South Alabama. All right. Talk to us, Rachel, about a typical day in the life of a Division I college athlete today.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's really like a full-time job. It's no joke, that's for sure. Normally, a typical day, I'll take you through a day where we have weights. So wake up 5:15 in the morning, got to be at weights by 5:45. Do about an hour workout, and then right after the workout, it's class from anywhere from 9 o'clock to 1 or 2 p.m. And then after that, we either do different pitching groups and hitting groups, which would be an hour-long bullpen for me in the case of being a pitcher. But if it was team practice, then we'd start team practice at around 3 p.m. and go anywhere to 7 p.m. And then come home, eat dinner, and, you know, go to sleep for the next day.
We're talking to Rachel Everett. When we come back, we're going to ask her about a man by the name of Don McLennan who started something 101 years ago. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Rachel Everett. A year ago, she earned a bachelor's degree in business from the University of South Alabama while playing softball. There's a man, Don McLennan, was born in 1925. In 1954, Rachel, he starts something called FCA. Please.
Yes, well, I am very thankful to Don for the vision the Lord gave him to start FCA, because FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, is an organization the Lord used to change my life and draw me to Him. So my journey with FCA actually started back when I was in high school. They started an FCA club at my high school, and it was at 6 in the morning. And so I got up, went over to FCA. There was only two or three people sometimes 10 people at FCA. But basically, we call them huddles. And how a normal huddle would run is we would come in, play a little icebreaker game, and then someone would either come share their testimony or just scripture with us, and then we would kind of discuss it, talk about it, read some scripture for ourselves out of the Word, and then kind of wrap it up. Actually, when I started going to FCA in high school, I didn't really know much about the Lord. I didn't really have much of a biblical foundation. And so when I was in high school, the huddle coach, his name was Doug Moffitt, and actually he showed me how to find a Bible verse in the Bible during an FCA huddle. It was funny. He used to say, okay, well, Rachel, you're going to read John 5:23. And I had no idea how to navigate to find that. I remember looking it up on the internet. What is John 5:23? But yes, so thankful for my time in high school with FCA. And then fast forward to college.
Well, hold on a minute. Hold on. We got to be totally honest here. What made you first decide to go to one of these FCA huddles?
All right. Well, you're really calling me out here, Jack, because you know the real reason. So basically, there was this guy in high school, and I had the biggest crush on him, and he was big in FCA. He loved going to FCA, and so I also wanted to love going to FCA. So that's what really got me there in the first place.
All right. And you got involved with FCA in high school, and then what did you do with FCA while you were at South Alabama?
Yes. So praise be to God for the ways that he's moved in my life. And actually, when I got to South Alabama, and as we mentioned before, softball kind of fell apart for me in a lot of ways. And I was trying to deal with that in a lot of different ways. I fell into a lot of habits that were living for the world. But also, the semester I got to South Alabama, my teammates started FCA on our campus. And one of my teammates, I remember, came up to me and she said, "Hey, we're starting this group. It's called FCA. Not sure if you've heard of it, but we'd love for you to come." And so me and my roommate, we started going to FCA every week. And during that time, I just remember between FCA and another campus ministry we had on campus, I was spending 3 to 4 nights a week learning about Jesus and learning about what he's done for us and just his word and the stories of the Bible that I didn't really know or wasn't familiar with. And people just started planting seeds and pouring into me. And FCA is such an incredible organization because it meets people right where they're at. I mean, my teammates kind of knew the life I was living, and yet they still said, "Hey, come. Like, we want you to be there. We want to be able to pour into you." And there was no judgment. And even though I hadn't really been in the church, it gave me the opportunity for the church to kind of come to me and people who loved and knew Jesus to come share with me.
FCA stands for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. If you want to learn more, www.fca.org. All right. You graduated a year ago. You are now a part-time field ambassador for the Greater Huron area for FCA. They don't pay you. So you come home, you tell mom and dad, "I got the degree, and I'm going to go work for this ministry, but I don't get paid." What did your mom and dad say?
Yeah, so I have to give credit to my mom and dad, of course, because they just want what's best for me. And so when I came home and told them, "Hey, mom and dad, I'm thinking of taking this position with FCA, and basically I support raise my salary," as any good parent would, they were like, "Oh my gosh, that's crazy. No way you're doing that." Which I really am thankful for, just because they want to protect me in every facet of my life. And that was just something that they were doing to protect me. And so it was actually a crazy story of how it all turned out. So after I had that initial conversation with my mom and dad, and they were like, "Hey, maybe this isn't such a good idea. You should kind of go down another route." I just kept talking to my mom about how much I loved FCA and how much I wanted to do it. And so I went back to school after Christmas break, and I told the Lord, I'm like, "Lord, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to move a mountain in my life, because I value my parents' approval and I value just what they want from me a lot. And I really respect them. And so I just wanted to honor them and what I was doing." And so I got back to school and I was talking to my supervisor in Alabama, who actually was so great during the time. And he just continued to remind me that the Lord would just grant me the wisdom that I needed, and he would show me what the next steps would look like. He actually wrote me a prayer. He said, "There are a lot of unknowns in the future right now, Lord, but all of it is known to you." Sorry if my voice gets cracky. I get kind of emotional. But he asked me if I would pray and fast for a week, and during that time, if I would ask the Lord to confirm in his word if FCA was something that he wanted for me. And so I was like, "You know what? I'll do it." And so I started praying and fasting for that week. And on the Tuesday that I was praying and fasting, I was in the car and I was listening to this song by Chris Renzema. It's called I Don't Want to Go. If you haven't heard it, you have to go give it a listen. He's so good. But it's basically these people in the Bible, whether it be Moses when he parted the Red Sea or Peter when he's on the hill, they were talking about these people that were like, Lord, I don't want to go if your presence isn't going to go with me when I go there. And so in the car, I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't want to go if your presence isn't going to go with me. I don't want to accept this position if your presence isn't going to go with me. And so the very next day, I opened up my Bible and I opened it up to Exodus 33, when basically Moses is on Mount Sinai and the Lord has just told him he's going to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And the Lord says to him, well, Moses first goes, Lord, do not send us down from here. If you're not going to go with us, please do not send us from here. And the Lord says, my presence will go with you wherever you go, and I will give you rest. And first of all, that was just an amazing experience, because it was one of those times in my life that I can pinpoint, wow, the Lord really just met me exactly where I was at, and he showed me exactly what I needed to do. But, you know, me, like, being a little doubtful, I'm like, Lord, you know, is this really it? Is this really what you want from me? And so that same week that I was praying about it, I get a call from my mom, and she didn't know that I was praying over her or anything. And she said that she had ran into someone, like a friend of a friend, who knew someone that did full-time ministry and had to support raise for her full-time ministry. And she said they were talking about it, and she just learned a lot more about the process of support raising. And she said, if you decide that you want to do this, me and your father will support you in whatever you decide to do. And that was just the okay for me of, like, Lord, in his word, he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, get up and move, and it will. And it was like I had, like, the faith small as a mustard seed, and the mountain got up and moved.
We're talking to Rachel Everett. I quote now Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Rachel, that's what you've done at a very young age. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Rachel Everett. Rachel, you talk about support raising process. What does that mean?
Yeah. So the support raising process is actually something I myself was not super familiar with. Just before I came on staff with FCA, it was something that no one I really was around had walked through. And so I was excited to learn more about the process. So I'm excited you're excited to learn more about the process, too. So basically, through FCA, we raise funds in order to provide for our salary, but also provide for the huddles and resources that we need to do our ministry in our area. So I serve in the Greater Huron area, which is the schools in Livingston and Washtenaw County. Just between those two counties, we have so many schools and over 15,000 student athletes that want to be served and need to be served. And so we need resources in order to provide Bibles, wristbands, t-shirts, all those things for the students at the huddles, or donuts, you know, because you can't really get kids to school at 6 a.m. unless there are donuts or food incentives. So going into the support raising process, FCA is so amazing in the entire journey. So we go to Kansas City, which is our headquarters. We go there for boot camp. You know, boot camp's pretty intense. So it's 2 days in Kansas City where basically they take us through scriptural foundation of support raising, different ways through scripture. Support raising is kind of talked about, or people in the Bible that walked through that process. And they really train us up of, hey, this is how you go out and invite people to come join your home team, invite people to come join the vision and mission of FCA. I actually have a cool other little God story that happened while I was still, like, walking through, hey, am I going to do this? Am I not going to do this? So a book we have to read for boot camp, it's called The God Ask. It's by Steve Sadrek, and it's amazing. It's incredible. Honestly, if you haven't read it, you should go read it. But I knew that that was the book I would have to read for boot camp. And I was talking to a friend one night. We were at church during school. And I was like, yeah, I have to read this book. I don't really have the book. I'll probably have to order it. And she said, that's the craziest thing that you said that, because we just started a book drive today and someone brought in the God Ask. We're giving the books away for free. And so here, you can have this copy.
We're talking to Rachel Everett. If you want to help her or FCA, go to MetroDetroitFCA.org and select Meet Our Team. All right, let's talk about America's greatest natural resource, our young people. Rachel, what do they want and what do they really need?
Oh man, that's such a good question. What's been so incredible to see through working on staff with FCA and really coming to know Jesus as a college student, it's been incredible to be back in high schools and middle schools, even elementary school students that are just on fire for the Lord. Jack, we talked a little bit about how the darkness is getting darker, but because the darkness is getting darker, that also means that the light is getting so much lighter. And there are a lot of hard things these student athletes or students in general are facing right now in the world that we live in. I mean, you're talking anxiety, depression, family issues, conflicts, relationships, so many things that are so heavy and can cast a burden on these students that are so young walking through these things that they don't know how to deal with. But what's so cool about that is whenever we feel so burdened by the world and everything that we're seeing and walking in, we're able to see that the light is so much lighter, and that light is Jesus Christ. And so being able to be his disciple and be a city set on a hill, it can't be hidden. That light can't be hidden. It can't be put under a lamp, but it needs to shine. And so what we're able to do as Christians is go out into the world, go out into the dark places and bring the light, because the Lord says in John, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And in this world, there's a lot of dark, but the darkness will never overcome Jesus Christ.
We're talking to Rachel Everett. If you want to learn more about her, MetroDetroitFCA.org and go to select Meet Our Team. All right. You currently are working at 7 high schools in Livingston and Western Washtenaw counties and also Cleary University. And you talk about huddles. And I think if I heard you right, the huddle starts at 6 a.m. in the morning. So you're telling me you get high school kids to get up and be at the huddle by 6 a.m. in the morning? How?
I mean, you could say it's the donuts, but honestly, that's not what I think it is. It's like I said, Jack, it's so incredible to see the fire that these students have for Jesus. Huddle times do vary between schools, but a lot of them do happen before or after school. And so that means that these kids are asking their parents, hey, can you drop me off an hour earlier? Hey, can you pick me up an hour later? I want to stay at school to learn about Jesus. I want to stay at school to fellowship with other Christian athletes. I want to stay at school so that we can build up each other and so we can go out and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with the other students in these schools. And it's just so amazing, seriously.
Mark, can we take a break for 1 minute?
Yes.
Oh, yum.
Okay, so you give them donuts like I just gave you, and you've got them there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Talk about a typical meeting then, or a typical huddle.
Yes. So thank you for bringing these donuts, but I don't know why you brought them to me when I just have to smell them, not be able to eat them. But yeah, so a typical huddle, we run the 4 W's. So it's the welcome, the warm-up, the workout, and the wrap-up. You know, athletes, we have to work out at some point during these huddles. Not actually work out physically, but work out spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. So basically, we welcome in the students. This is just 5 to 10 minutes where people are able to enjoy their donuts. And then we go into the icebreaker, which is basically a game that we would play 5 to 10 minutes just to kind of break the ice a little bit, get everyone feeling good and just ready to learn more about the Lord and just get into the Word of God. And so that's what the workout is. It's just getting into the Word. It looks different every huddle. Sometimes we'll have a guest speaker. Sometimes we'll get into the Word together. we have different methods and resources through FCA that are so beneficial in that, too. We are able to give students athlete's Bibles, which basically in the back gives a lot of different options for workouts or different spiritual buildups that we're able to do through those huddles and in those huddles. And then we'll break the students into discussion time. So they're either talking to the person next to them, sharing with the whole group, or in small groups, because we want to know that everyone has the opportunity to share what they need to share and talk about what they want to talk about in smaller groups.
Talk about the Word of God.
Wow. Well, first of all, the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. And the Lord wants to speak to us through His Word. I found that in my walk with Him, being in the Word and hearing the Word and just hearing from the Lord in my quiet time with the Lord is just where He speaks to me the most. I mean, we have this love letter that Jesus has wrote to us all throughout Scripture. I mean, He's intertwined all throughout Scripture from Genesis 1 all the way to the end of Revelation. And He gives it to us so openly, and especially in the United States, we're able to have access to it and read it whenever we desire. And so if I could encourage you one thing, wake up in the morning, get your morning coffee and a donut, and just get in the Word. And just know that Jesus wants to speak to you through it. It's like He walks right off the page.
We're talking to Rachel Everett. She graduated college 1 year ago. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisullo.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Rachel Everett, a 23-year-old local missionary. Rachel, you went to South Alabama. That's in the middle of the Bible Belt. You've come back home to Michigan. This isn't the Bible Belt. Somebody says, with all due respect, "I admire what you believe, but aren't you violating the separation of church and state?"
Yeah, that's such a great point, just being a Christian in the Bible Belt where everyone is talking about Jesus, everyone is talking about their relationship with the Lord and their faith, and then coming back to Michigan where it's maybe not as widely talked about. But honestly, I think that's what's been amazing about working with FCA up here in Michigan is you do have student athletes that are being bold for Jesus and wanting to talk about Jesus in their schools, in their sports teams, in their family lives. And what's really cool about FCA is we want the students to be the ones taking the reins on these huddles. We want them to be the ones that are teaching their peers and their teammates about the Word of God and about the Lord. And so a lot of times, sometimes I'll have students reach out to me saying, "Hey, I go to this high school, my friend has FCA at their school, and I want it at my school too. And what's cool is I'm able to come beside that student athlete, come beside that coach or that volunteer and say, yes, let me help in any way I can so that you're able to do this. And we've seen that FCAs are being able to be started in so many schools because the students are the ones saying, hey, I want to do this.
We're talking to Rachel Everett. If you want to learn more, www.metrodetroitfca.org. Select Meet Our Team. All right, Rachel, in the year you've been doing this, what's the biggest thing these high school kids and college kids have taught you?
Yes. So with the FCA staff, every year we do a word of the year. And through my process with FCA, I've been able to come in at the end of 2025 into 2026 and find my word for the year. And through a lot of prayer and asking the Lord, my word for the year that I landed on was bold. And as I think about it, that question you just asked me, that's what these students have taught me is boldness for Christ. I mean, these students walking in their hallways, walking up to teachers, walking up to coaches saying, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to share my relationship with him, with you. And just that boldness is amazing to me.
We're talking to Rachel Everett. All right, you not only work with high school and college students, but also high school coaches and college coaches. Talk about they don't make much money. Talk about the job that high school coaches do for us in America.
Yes, so Billy Graham once said that a coach will impact more people in a year than some will in a lifetime. And as coaches, that's what they're able to do. That's what we're able to do. Is spend every single day, especially in the high school seasons, with these student athletes. And it's kind of just a ministry of presence. I mean, when you're with someone every day, you walk them through a lot of highs, a lot of lows, wins and losses in life and in the sport. And so what these high school coaches are doing are coming beside these student athletes in every season of their lives, everything that they're walking through, and they're able to pour light into that situation. And it's incredible to see just in that process of coaching, when you first meet the girls or the guys, and then you start to grow in relationship with them as a coach, and just getting to know them as people. And once we're able to navigate the heart of a person, to really see their heart, that's when we're able to really reach them the best, is, hey, I want to meet you exactly where you're at. I'm not expecting you to be here or be at this level, but I just want to be with you right now where you are.
I've been hearing a lot recently about a massive revival amongst Gen Z and millennials coming to a relationship with Jesus. Is that true? And if so, why?
Yes, that is definitely true. It's just incredible what the Lord is doing right now, especially in Gen Z. I talk about that boldness that I was sharing with you, and that spans from being in person with these student athletes to their social medias, to things that they're posting. Actually, on college campuses right now, they're having hundreds of people be baptized and having hundreds of people just there worshiping the Lord for prolonged periods of time. And I think it's so important being in this work, being a Christian in this world, to be being bold about our faith and just sharing that with others and not being scared to go out, because more than likely you'll come across someone that's believing the same thing that you are. And when we're able to work together to further spread the message of the gospel, we'll be able to take it to the ends of the earth.
Rachel, you graduated college a year ago. Everybody listening to this show says, wow, this is a superstar, okay? You could make a lot of money working for any company in America that you would want to. Why don't you?
Yeah, in Matthew 6, it says, seek first the kingdom and its treasures, and everything else will be added. And also, there's a parable in Matthew that talks about a man that went up on this hill and he found this pearl. And when he found it, he buried it and he hid it, and he went and sold everything that he had so that he could have this pearl. And that's who Jesus is. I mean, that's what a relationship with Jesus does. It makes you willing to sell everything that you have just so you can have him. I mean, in the Psalms, it says, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. And it says, because your love is better than life, my lips will praise you. And that's what I want to do. I want to spend my life telling people about Jesus and what he's done for me. And I want them to know that there is fullness of life, abundance of life found through the blood of Jesus Christ.
A listener says, wow, whatever you have, I want. But God never talks to me. You're lucky he's talked to you and you've listened, but he never talks to me.
You know, when you're driving down the road and you look at the billboard signs or you see people always saying this thing, Jesus loves you. And you think, I mean, that works for some people, but I'm sure after what I've done, Jesus doesn't love me. Or he knows me better than anyone, and there's no way he can love me. Well, I can promise you that he does, and he paid the penalty for your sins on the cross so that you can be with him forever and have life with him. And the best part about it is he was raised again, and he was raised so that we're able to be reconciled to God. And when we have a relationship with Jesus, God looks at us and he sees Jesus. He doesn't see the sin that we think makes us too far gone, and he doesn't see everything that we've done, but he sees Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, if you're someone that's wondering, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to have a relationship with Jesus, well, I didn't either. I mean, I didn't really know any of the Bible stories. I didn't know really anything about Jesus. But I knew that if I came to him in humility saying, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done, I want to be in a relationship with you, and I want you in my heart, just ask Jesus into your heart, and I promise you, he will change your life.
As we close, would you lead us in a closing prayer?
Yes, I'd love to. Lord, thank you so much just for this opportunity to glorify your name. Lord, thank you for Jack and WJR and everything that they're doing in this show, just to honor you and praise you and all the people that he's brought on here, Lord, that have a relationship with you. Lord, I want to pray for that one person right now, that one person that doesn't know you, Lord, but is wondering, how do I do this? Lord, I pray that you would just meet them where you are, where they are, Lord, and you would just remind them that you hold them in your hand, Lord, and you want their heart. And Lord, you'll give yourself to them. Lord, I just thank you so much for Jesus and for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And Lord, we thank you for Rachel Everett, and keep guiding her and holding her in the palm of your hand. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God,
anything
is possible.
Believe in yourself.